Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 73 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Arlo Barnett.
And I'm Jacob Lindberg.
For the most part, we've been able to find water sources pretty close, but there's a few isolated incidents where you'll have to go about 3 miles out to find some water.
National Guard helicopter pilot Jacob Connor is part of the team dropping water on the 26 active wildfires in eastern Kentucky. He says despite the drought, they're making progress.
Kentucky's outgoing House Speaker says the so-called liberal war on coal is a lie.
And MSU's president says the university protects free speech for its students, despite a report saying otherwise.
In sports, Louisville travels to Houston in Thursday night football action.
But Luke has the stocks.
Clear skies tonight with lows around 50 degrees. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
Ground crews fighting forest fires in eastern Kentucky are getting plenty of help from the National Guard helicopters watching from above. 26 current wildfires have burned at least 26,000 acres of forest land, and the Guard is now working with local and state firefighters to get them contained. National Guard pilot Jacob Connor says it's making a difference.
Trying to direct them where the most important areas to drop are, kind of the hottest areas. We use our infrared camera to kind of find the hot spots so that we can direct them accurately. We've had some difficulties with visibility due from some of the smoke, but other than that, there hasn't been too many problems.
Connor says the region's current drought has caused some problems in finding enough water to scoop, with crews sometimes flying more than 3 miles to find a natural source.
Moorhead State President Wayne Andrews believes the university is in compliance with the Constitution's First Amendment protections of free speech for its students and faculty. The Foundation of Individual Rights in Education, known as FIRE, gave MSU a red light rating for three of its policies. Two are related to technological free speech, and one involves alleged student misconduct. Andrews says FIRE's concerns are in regards to some phrasing in Moorhead State's student handbook. The school's legal team will examine that wording to see if there are any problems.
Our goal in having a quality student handbook is to provide direction for our students so that, you know, we can help them do what they need to do in a responsible manner. And, you know, if the language needs to be changed, we can look at that.
Andrews says this isn't the first time that MSU has heard from FIRE.
Having an understanding of Moorhead State's service region will be a key piece of criteria in the hiring of the university's new president. So says the man heading the search committee. According to Wayne Martin, the school's next leader must have a passion and compassion for those living in the 22 counties of eastern Kentucky that MSU serves.
Our recruitment of students and the Moorhead attraction is far beyond our service area. But our mission, given to us by the state legislature, the Kentucky Council on Post-Secondary Education, is to serve our primary service area, which is a 22 county, and 65% of our students come from there.
Martin says because MSU is in the state's most economically distressed region, it faces a unique set of challenges unlike any of Kentucky's other public universities. The search committee hopes to have Moorhead State's next president hired by the end of March. The school needs to replace Dr. Wayne Andrews, who retires in June.
State Parks Commissioner Donnie Holland says lodges and restaurants at two resort parks in eastern Kentucky should be reopened by Memorial Day next year. Both facilities at Jenny Wiley and Greenbow Lake were damaged by fire. Holland says Jenny Wiley has been closed since a blaze in late March.
It has hurt our sales. It has hurt our alcohol sales. We're working very steadily to get it opened back up, and the target for it and Greenbow are both in the spring.
Holland testified this afternoon before House and Senate members of the Economic Development and Tourism Committee. The fire that closed Greenbow happened in October of 2015.
Legislation to protect health care and pension benefits for around 120,000 retired coal miners and their families is stuck in the U.S. Senate, and some are blaming Majority Leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky for its lack of movement. McConnell is accused of keeping the Miners Protection Act from moving to the Senate floor for consideration. 70-year-old Steve Brewer of Pike County was a coal miner until breaking his back in a mining accident. He says McConnell is not living up to a deal cut by the federal government with the miners' union in 1946.
He's the first Senate majority leader that's ever let the coal miners down, but yet he'll say he's for coal miners. But how can you be for coal miners when you won't take care of your obligation?
If the Miners Protection Act were to go into effect, then 120,000 retired coal miners and their families wouldn't have to pay for their own medical coverage.
Outgoing House Speaker Greg Stumbo says Republican claims that Democrats conducted a war on coal, and that's why so many mining jobs were lost in eastern Kentucky, was an oft-repeated lie. The Floyd County Democrat lost his seat in last week's election. He wasn't alone. His party lost 17 seats and relinquished its nearly century-old majority in the House. Stumbo talked with reporters Wednesday at a press conference in Frankfort.
Was coal an issue? Yes, it was an issue. Was it a true issue? You know, I hope the people of Kentucky will hold those accountable who now have the reins of power, and if they can magically sweep in and do something about it, I'm for them doing it. If those commitments come true, then obviously it's a feather in their cap. If they don't, then I would expect the people of Kentucky would be upset.
Stumbo says Senator Mitch McConnell admitted after the election that Kentucky's coal jobs are unlikely to return. McConnell said the energy market would determine unemployment in the industry.
State officials are double-checking votes that could make a difference in the outcome of last week's election. Here's Haley Hansen.
Three canvasses in three districts will take place Thursday, with results expected in the afternoon. While they proved to voters their voices were heard, Secretary of State Allison Lundergan-Grimes says recanvasses rarely make a difference.
During my tenure, I've not seen a recanvass that has impacted wholly the outcome of an election.
Republican Denny Butler in Louisville, Democrat Linda Belcher in the 49th District, and Republican Chad Shannon in the 87th District have all requested recanvasses. I'm Haley Hansen.
Ashland Mayor Chuck Charles lost his attempt for a second term in last week's election, but he has plans to stay active in civic affairs for a long time. He's not sure yet if that includes another run for political office.
I don't know, depends on what you mean by political. I will continue to work for my city no matter what position I'm in, and I have several projects that are still going. I have several economic development projects that are going. I won't leave those. As a matter of fact, hopefully in January we'll have a very good project to announce for our downtown area.
At least for a little while, Charles says he'll enjoy spending more time with his two granddaughters. The mayor was a champion of physical fitness during his 4 years in office. He launched a Saturday morning initiative he called Walk with the Mayor to encourage Ashlanders to be more active while they talked with him about problems in their neighborhood. Charles also spearheaded a volunteer effort to develop hiking trails in the Charles and Betty Russell Park.
Governor Matt Bevin will fill a vacancy on an Eastern Kentucky City Council, MSPR's Jacob Wilson reports.
The opening occurred when Grayson Councilwoman Juanita Kennedy died last month. According to the Grayson Journal-Inquirer, City Council had 30 days to appoint a new member to the panel, but the members failed to get that job done. When such situations happen, it's then up to Kentucky's governor to pick someone to fill the opening. The person appointed by Governor Bevin will serve out the remainder of Kennedy's term, which ends on December 31st. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Jacob Wilson.
An Ashland man has been charged with impersonating a police officer. According to WSAZ, the charge was brought against 21-year-old Dakota Gussler. The Huntington Station quotes Boyd County Sheriff's deputies as saying that Gussler told employees of the Walmart store in Catlettsburg that he was a detective from Greenup County and had worked with the FBI. They also say he was wearing a firearm. Gussler is to be arraigned on the charge next month.
The head of the Rowan County Sheriff's Department's ongoing anti-drug effort is saying thank you to the Morehead City Council. The panel earlier this week approved funding to hire an additional officer for the City Police Department to specialize in the area of drug enforcement. Chief Deputy Joe Klein leads Operation Rowan Roundup for the Sheriff's Department. He calls the council's action good news.
It's going to really help. You know, it's all of us working together to make sure that we're making our community as safe as we can, and that's our job. And I really was pleased to hear that. And my understanding is it was a unanimous vote on it to add that. So that really made me feel good about the City Council stepping up like that.
Since its inception in 2010, the efforts of Operation Rowan Roundup have led to the indictments of over 200 persons on various drug charges.
In light of tension between some citizens and their local police departments elsewhere in the U.S., an Eastern Kentucky city is honoring its officers. MSPR's Chaz Jenkins reports.
According to the Ashland Daily Independent, the city of Ashland has painted a thin blue line down the middle of 17th Street right outside police headquarters. This striping was added Wednesday, and its goal is to commemorate both deceased and living members of the Ashland PD, while also showing a sense of community between the police and civilians. Chief Todd Kelly proposed the idea to Ashland City Commissioners after witnessing other departments across the region adding similar blue lines as well. Kelly says this shows Ashland residents that his department is committed to serve. For Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
Kentucky's counties need some relief from the state legislature to help control jail costs. So says the first vice president of the Kentucky Association of Counties. Jody Jenkins is also judge executive in Union County.
Last year, fiscal courts transferred an additional $81 million to jails. We're all aware that heroin, now laced with elephant tranquilizer, fentanyl, is killing more of our people at a faster rate. Those it does not kill who manage to be revived by the use of naloxone are arrested and brought into the jails. But the bigger problem than just the addicts and traffickers, the number of misdemeanants and pretrial felons in county jails are higher than ever before.
In addition, Jenkins says KACO is calling for better treatment and rehabilitation programs to keep offenders from returning to jail.
A social worker for the Kentucky Cabinet for Health and Family Services says the agency's elimination of the kinship care program was ill-advised. Actually, Katie Coleman of Child Protective Services is a little more direct.
I'm sorry to say this. That's probably the stupidest thing the state has done, or this agency has done in a long time. Because the kinship care was eliminated right when the heroin epidemic exploded, and suddenly we have a mass of kids coming into state custody.
Coleman testified in Frankfort Wednesday before a panel of state lawmakers. Kinship care allowed children taken away from their parents to be placed with a blood relative instead of foster care or a state facility. Coleman says the foster care program cost about $77 per day for each child, while kinship care was compensated at $10. She's calling on the General Assembly to reinstate the kinship initiative.
Health officials in Kentucky are trying to curb the rise of diabetes in an at-risk population.
We can point fingers. We can say inactivity. We can say obesity.
Whatever the reason, Stuart Perry with the Bluegrass American Diabetes Association says there's been a staggering increase in the disease in Kentucky.
It's a real domino effect of getting people to understand the problem, to getting people to address the problem, and getting the communities to own that problem and make it a priority.
Lower-income people are at higher risk. November is American Diabetes Month. I'm Suzanne Duvall.
The Kentucky Coal Academy is hosting a series of free miners refresher courses. The courses include an emergency technician's refresher on December 7th, surface mining safety training on December 8th, and underground mining safety on December 12th and 13th. They'll be held at the Pikeville campus of Big Sandy Community and Technical College and the campus of Southeast Kentucky Community College in Harlan. Harlan Hammond is the mine training specialist at BSCTC. Hammond says the annual classes are mandatory for those working in coal mines.
Yearly, you have to have 8 hours of retraining. And for the underground, it's actually 16 hours of retraining.
For more information about the classes, call 606-218-1228 or 606-218-1276. Your weather for tonight, clear with lows in the upper 40s in the valleys and in the mid-50s on the ridges. On Friday, warm and sunny with highs in the mid-70s. On Friday night, mostly clear with isolated showers in the evening, then cloudy with numerous showers late. Lows in the mid-40s, chance of rain is at 60%. On Saturday, much cooler and partly sunny. Numerous rain showers in the morning, then scattered rain showers in the afternoon. Highs in the mid-40s. Wind gusts up to 25 miles per hour in the afternoon and a chance of rain of 60%. And on Saturday night, cold, partly cloudy with isolated rain or snow showers, lows in the mid-20s, chance of precipitation is at 20%. And on Sunday, mostly sunny with highs in the lower 40s, Sunday night cold, mostly clear with lows in the lower 20s. In Ashland right now, it's 72 degrees, in Flemingsburg, 72, Inez, 71, Lexington 75, Winchester 74, and here in Morehead on MSU's campus, It's 73 degrees.
The time is 4:45. You are listening to Mountain Edition here on Morehead State Public Radio. Stay tuned. Coming up in 15 minutes, you'll have a variety of news from around the world headed your way on NPR's All Things Considered. In our feature segment this afternoon, Ohio is highlighted in a new report for its work to reduce dangerous methane emissions. Mary Sherman from the Ohio News Connection has more.
Methane emissions from oil and gas production may be invisible, but a new report says the impacts on wildlife health and Ohio's economy are not. Methane is the second leading cause of climate change, which the National Wildlife Federation report contends is posing a threat to wildlife across the country. Report lead author Shin and Hike Williams says that includes the Indiana bat, whose populations have declined.
It is one of the most endangered species in the Cuyahoga Valley National Park. And because of climate change, it's expected to lose most, if not all, of its summer range in Ohio.
On health impacts, the report shows Ohio has higher rates of asthma than other states, which Hike Williams says could be reduced by regulating methane emissions. Ohio took action in 2014 by requiring operators to fix emissions from leaking equipment identified during quarterly inspections. According to the research, more than a dozen Ohio companies now specialize in fixing pollution leaks, which Joe Sterling with United Steelworkers Local 5000 says is boosting jobs. As a sportsman, he notes the outdoor economy also stands to benefit from reducing emissions.
In 2011, total expenditures on wildlife watching, hunting, and fishing in the U.S. amounted to $54.9 billion. In 2012, wildlife recreation just in Ohio alone added $3.6 billion. When you take a look at that industry just alone, we need to do something to protect that.
Hike Williams applauds Ohio's efforts, but says the state can play a stronger role in containing methane emissions.
What Ohio can do now is help advocate for national standards, because that would help level the playing field for Ohio and for all of the businesses in Ohio that are already working to install new, more efficient technologies on the equipment.
The report says EPA methane rules for new and modified oil and gas facilities would reduce as much carbon pollution as is emitted by 11 coal-fired power plants. This is Mary Sherman, Ohio News Connection.
The time is 4:48. You're still listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Arlo Barnett here with Jacob Lindberg, and we're glad you've joined us on this Thursday afternoon. There's a third member to this team. Braxton Howard has been keeping an eye on your sports news. He's up in just a moment.
Support for MSPR comes from the Kentucky Folk Art Center, presenting The Devil Made Us Do It, depictions of Satan in Kentucky folk art. On display through December 3rd, the exhibition examines how the character of the devil has been portrayed by generations of self-taught artists from Kentucky. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., the Kentucky Folk Art Center is a cultural, educational, and economic development service of Morehead State University.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. Louisville's third-ranked football team is on the road tonight at 8 o'clock to face Houston. Coach Bobby Petrino's Cardinals will be out to avenge their 34-31 loss to the Cougars in Game 2 of last season.
We're a much different team than we were last year. You know, right then we were trying to even find out who we are and what we were doing, and everything was new, you know, to Lamar when he was out there. He made some really good plays in the game. He made some mistakes, just understanding the difference between high school football and college football. So I don't think last year's game will play into this game at all.
Cardinal sophomore quarterback Lamar Jackson has developed into a Heisman Trophy candidate this season. He's accounted for 46 touchdowns, both running and passing. Don't tell Morehead State football coach Rob Tenier that Saturday's season finale at Davidson is meaningless. According to Tenier, there's a lot riding on the battle between his 3-7 Eagles and the 2-8 Wildcats as MSU looks to take some momentum into the offseason.
Everybody remembers how you finish, you know, and so it's an important game for a lot of reasons. You know, morale, recruiting, momentum. So it's a big game.
The football Eagles destroyed Davidson 34-0 a year ago at Jane Stadium. A handful of area high school football teams will try to advance out of the Elite Eight of their respective state tournaments Friday night. In Class 4A, top-ranked Johnson Central is at home to meet 9-3 Ashland Blazer. Coach Tony Love hopes his Tomcats are fired up to avenge their 43-6 regular season loss to the Golden Eagles.
That's a motivator for the coaches. You know, I would like to think that our kids, you know, have, and I'm pretty sure they do, you know, they have a lot of pride and they want to fix the the problems that we had in that first game. You know, a lot of them were self-inflicted, but a lot of them were you got beat by a good team.
In Class 3A, Russell takes on top-ranked Belfry. Coach C.J. Maynard knows a big key will be how the Red Devils handle the Pirates' big physical offense.
They got three Division One signees on their offensive line, so obviously that's a big challenge for us. And then they got multiple guys in the backfield that can run. They don't just have like one guy you got to stop. They got multiple guys with the offense they run, so it's going to be a big challenge for us. But again, we're going to have to make sure that when we get an opportunity to make tackles, that we make those tackles.
In one other game, Raceland visits number one Paintsville for a Class A battle. Two NFC South teams are squaring off tonight in NFL play. AP correspondent Brent McMillan reports.
The Panthers and Saints are both glad to have a short week so they can put disheartening losses behind them quickly. In their first meeting just 5 weeks ago, the Saints won 41-38 on a last-minute field goal. Drew Brees threw for 465 yards and four touchdowns and was sacked just once. Since then, the Panthers' defense has stepped up, especially the front four, recording 15 sacks in the three games since. The key matchup will still be Brees against the young Panthers secondary. Brett McMillan, Charlotte.
Morehead State basketball coach Sean Woods says his team played hard but not always smart in last night's 85-77 loss at Marshall. The Eagles were down by as many as 11 points midway through the second half, but made a game of it down the stretch, pulling to within 3 points of the Thundering Herd. According to Woods, the rally showed the grit and character of his players.
We fought, you know, we can't, you know, doubt the effort of our guys. Now we got to be better on the road and be smart, especially defensively, and not put the game in the referee's hands.
Marshall shot 36 free throws to MSU's three last night. The Herd outscored the Eagles at the line 30-3. 2-1 Morehead visits Evansville on Saturday. The Morehead State women's basketball team is getting set to host Miami of Ohio on Saturday. Head coach Greg Todd says his 2-1 Eagles will have to be at the top of their game to get a win.
We know we'll have to play well. We played a very competitive game last year in Oxford when we played at Miami, and they've added their best player is a freshman point guard. I think we'll have to play the same level we played against Eastern Michigan to have a chance to win on Saturday.
Miami of Ohio is 2-0 on the year and coming off of a 60-50 victory at Northern Kentucky. It's a rare afternoon game for the 12th-ranked Louisville basketball team, the Cardinals at the Yum Center taking on Long Beach State. The Cardinals lead the game 42-27 at the half. Jalen Johnson leads the way for the Cards with 10 first-half points. Thomas Moore is speaking out on the NCAA's decision to vacate its national championship. Will Clark has more.
The NCAA took Division III Thomas More College's women's basketball team's 2014-15 national title after they say a player received an impermissible extra benefit while recovering from a knee surgery. School president David Armstrong says they were aware of it but thought it was within the rules.
The decision was made based on the pre-existing relationship that there was no violation. However, the optics didn't look good from a Title IX campus safety situation.
He says the NCAA made it clear they were going after the title from day one. I'm Will Clark.
And finally in sports, the Morehead State volleyball team saw its season come to an end today. The Eagles fell to SIU Edwardsville in three sets in the opening round of the OVC tournament. MSU finished the season with an overall record of 11-20, including a five-game losing streak to end the year. That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Women's basketball hosts Miami University Saturday at noon. The next home game for men's basketball is against Northern Kentucky at 7 p.m. on Wednesday, November 30th. Tickets and information available from the Morehead State Athletic Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities rose, putting the major indices close to all-time highs as investors parsed through economic data and Federal Reserve Chairman Janet Yellen's testimony, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 35.68 at 18,903.82. The S&P 500 was up 10.18 at 2187.12, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 39.39, finishing at 5333.97. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 15-14 in favor of winning stocks over losers. Small and mid-cap stocks both rose today, with the Russell 2000 and S&P Mid-Cap 400 hitting new all-time highs. And Federal Reserve Chairman Janet Yellen, in testimony before Congress, said a rate hike could be appropriate relatively soon, adding there are dangers to waiting too long to tighten monetary policy. Yellen also said she would not step down from the Fed until her term is done. A large number of market participants expect the central bank to raise interest rates next month when they meet, according to the CME Group's FedWatch tool. We also saw a number of economic data releases today, with housing starts soaring more than 25% in October, while weekly jobless claims dropped to their lowest level since November 1973. And the October CPI rose 0.4%, and that was in line with expectations. In the oil markets, U.S. crude oil futures for December delivery fell 0.3% to finish at $45.42 a barrel as evidence of global oversupply weighed, including Wednesday's report from the EIA, which showed a larger-than-expected stockpile build. In corporate news, retail giant and Dow component Walmart reported mixed quarterly results, beating earnings estimates but missing sales expectations. Walmart shares fell over 3%. Best Buy, on the other hand, beat both the top and bottom line estimates, lifting its shares over 14%. And gold futures for December delivery rose 70 cents, finishing at $1,224.60 an ounce. Among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were Home Depot and Nike, and your worst performers were Cisco and Walmart. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Best Buy and NetApp, and your worst performers were Mallinckrodt and First Solar. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 3 cents at 109.18, CSX up 9 cents at 33.96, AK Steel up 8 cents at 7.99, Marathon Petroleum down 13 cents at 43.36, AEP down 12 cents at 58.87, and Anthem was down 51 cents to finish at 137.88. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop, a community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Your weather for tonight, clear with lows in the upper 40s in the valleys and in the mid-50s on the ridges. On Friday, warm and sunny with highs in the mid-70s. Friday night, mostly clear with isolated showers in the evening, then cloudy with numerous showers late. Lows in the mid-40s, chance of rain is 60%. On Saturday, much cooler, partly sunny, numerous rain showers in the morning, then scattered rain showers in the afternoon. Highs in the mid-40s, wind gusts up to 25 miles per hour in the afternoon, and a chance of rain of 60%. On Saturday night, cold and partly cloudy, with isolated rain or snow showers. Lows in the mid-20s, chance of precipitation is at 20%. On Sunday, mostly sunny, with highs in the lower 40s. Sunday night, cold and mostly clear, with lows in the lower 20s. And finally, on Monday, sunny with highs in the upper 40s. Monday night, cold, mostly clear with lows in the mid-20s. In Ashland right now, it's 72 degrees, and Flemingsburg, 72, Inez, 71, Lexington, 75, Winchester, 74, and here in Moorhead, on MSU's campus, it's 73 degrees.
That'll do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from MSPR staff members Chuck Mraz, Dan Conti, Nathan Gutierrez, Samantha Morrill, Braxton Howard, Courtney Howell, Chaz Jenkins, Brian Courtney, and Jacob Wilson. From the Kentucky News Network, Suzanne Duvall and Haley Hansen, and with our feature, Mary Sherman of the Ohio News Connection. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez, online at WMKY.org. For Jacob Lindberg and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Arlo Barnett. Morehead State Public Radio News, All Things Considered, is next.